2 Peter chapter 3, if you want to turn in your Bibles, please. 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's read verses 1 through 13 and pray, and then I want to show you an internet meme that I saw years ago. 2 Peter chapter 3. We read this morning in Sunday school. Encourage more folks to be active in our Sunday school, if you would. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you. Of course, Peter wrote 1 Peter. And now he's saying, here's the second time I write. And he says, in both 1 Peter and 2 Peter, in both which, I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And several times in 2 Peter, he points out that, at this stage in his ministry, he doesn't have a whole lot new to say. At this stage in his ministry, his preaching is simply calling them to remember what they've already heard. You say, preacher, you repeat yourself. Well, good preachers do repeat themselves because you need to hear it over and over again. Verse 2, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before. Again, remember what you've already been taught. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Again, I point out to you, commandment is singular, apostles is plural. There's one doctrine from the apostles. Verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? I thought you said Jesus was coming back. Where's he at? For since the fathers fell asleep, they say, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth, this is the old earth before the flood, the earth standing out of the water and in the water. That's a description of the earth before the lattice work of heaven was opened and the waters of the great deep were broken, the fountains of the great deep were broken up, the flood. Whereby, verse 6, whereby the world that then was, the world before the flood, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Just as that original world before the flood, this earth before the flood, had all the water that it needed to be destroyed, this world today has everything built into it that God will use to destroy it with fire. All the elements shall melt with great heat, with fervent heat. Verse 8, but, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. What promise? The promise that Jesus is coming again. As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Let's pray. Father, give us great help as we look into your word tonight. I pray, Lord God, that you would loosen my stammering tongue, clarify my mind. Feels like my brain is tied in knots this evening, Lord God, and I pray that you would untie it and direct my words, Father, to impart to these people something that they've come to hear tonight. They've not come to listen to me. They've come to listen to your word, and I pray that you would attend and make it so. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Many years ago, I looked on the internet years ago. It's been a long time. I don't know what I was looking for. And I came across something that I thought was really funny. I came across a picture, I guess you'd call it a meme, or as Pastor Matt sometimes calls it, a meme. And I thought it was hilarious. Showed it to some other people. Nobody else got the humor. But I showed it. I Googled for it this week, and I Googled for it today, and I finally found it again. It was like 3 pages deep in the Google search results. I don't know why. But I finally found it, and I showed it to my wife, and she laughed. So maybe you'll think it's funny. I just want to show it to you here. If Ab, if you can put that on the live stream for folks to see that. I just want to show that to you. Haters gonna hate. And he seems to be carrying on as maybe the idea is, yeah, haters are gonna hate, but what's that got to do with me? I'm gonna keep doing what I'm gonna do. And so, well, while I was searching for that today, I just Googled haters gonna hate. And some other things came up too. I saw this one as well. Seems to have the same message. You can see the little kid in the background is looking like, you know, he's the hater that it's talking about. Haters gonna hate. The idea of all those that I just Googled for haters gonna hate, and I saw all kinds of funny memes like that. Thank you, ladies. The idea seems to be, yeah, they're gonna hate, but you just keep on doing what you're going to do anyway. Don't let that stop you. My message tonight is the same idea from 2 Peter chapter 3. My message tonight is scoffers going to scoff. Scoffers going to scoff. But you just don't let that affect you in the Christian life. You just don't let that sidetrack you. Don't let that let you fall from your own steadfastness. Why does it matter to know that scoffers are going to scoff? Look at chapter 2 with me, and we see what he says in chapter 2, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Well, that's bad enough about the false teachers, but look at what happens, verse 2. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. The false teachers will come, but many will be swayed and follow their, that word pernicious, that means ruinous, their destructive ways. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. So it's even worse than that. It's even worse. Then many will follow them, but then when many follow them, the world's gonna look on and see those Christians? That's what we always thought about Christianity, is how terrible that is. And so the name of the Lord, the Lord's reputation and the gospel gets a bad reputation. That's why it matters. And so I'm pointing out to you today that we live in a day, and it's getting worse and worse. Scoffers are going to deny the Word of God. Scoffers are going to come up with all kinds of things against the Word of God, deny the truth of the Word of God. Scoffers are going to try to sway you. They're not content to scoff themselves. They're not content. They're not content. They need to sway you. In their mind, they need to sway you. Oh, why? Because misery loves company. They're not content to scoff themselves. They want to sway you to become a scoffer as well. And I want to point out 3 things about scoffers, and then several things about our response. Number one, notice their motivation. Notice their motivation. And I, from time to time, you hear things. You ever hear things that are too good to be true? Just seem like it's too good to be true. And you think, oh, I wonder if this is a scam. Well, if you stop and think about the motivation of who's telling you, that'll usually tell you whether or not it's a scam. You follow, the old saying is follow the money. Follow the money. Hear from politicians, and you hear something from a politician, you're like, I'm not sure that's right. Well, why are they telling you that? What's their motivation? Think about their motivation. You hear from scoffers, and scoffers that deny the word of God, false teachers that mock the word of God, somewhat even maybe in a so-called church or so-called position of religious leadership that denies the word of God. What's their motivation? What's the atheist motivation for saying God didn't create all this? All this came about, and you and I came about by random chance. And there was a single-celled amoeba, and it multiplied and grew legs and walked and climbed a tree and fell out of the tree and hit its head, and there you are. There's you and me. What is their motivation? What is their motivation? Well, you look with me at verse 3. We get some help. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Now, here's their motivation. Walking after their own lusts. What's the motivation of scoffers? What's the motivation of the atheist, the one that says there is no God? What's the motivation of the one that says, well, we evolved? What's the motivation of the one that says, well, Jesus isn't coming back again? What is the motivation of the one that says, Jesus is not divine, or some of the things we talked about in Sunday school this morning? What's the motivation of the one that says, Jesus was not born of a virgin? They're walking after their own lusts. If we are the product of random chance and there is no God, then they can live as they please. If there is no judgment, if there is no accountability, then they can live as they please. If you and I are simply highly evolved animals, then we can live like animals. And who's to stop us? We can live like dogs. And this is part of the homosexuality agenda. We can just live like dogs. If we're just animals, what difference does it make? Who's to stop us? Who's to say? Their motivation. They want no accountability. They want no restraint. Sorry, this is really bugging me. It's out of place here. They want no restraint. They want no restrictions on their behavior. They're walking after their own lusts. Why? Why else? Why else would they deny the word of God? Let me give you a quote. This is from Madeleine Murray O'Hare. How many of you know that name? You heard that name. The woman that was mostly responsible for removing prayer from public schools, went a long way toward removing the teaching of creation from public schools. This atheist lady, woman, I won't say lady, woman. Here's what she said. Now see if you can catch the motivation here. The atheist realizes that there must not only be an acceptance of his right to hold his opinion, but that ultimately his is the job to turn his culture from religion, to eliminate those irrational ideas which have held the human race in intellectual slavery. That sounds a lot to me like Psalm 2. Turn to Psalm, hold your place in 2 Peter, turn to Psalm 2. Let me show you this. Let me show you what she just said in the Bible here. Psalm 2 verses 1 through 3. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Let's get rid of God's restraints on us. The only way to do that is to get rid of God. Let's get rid of God's restraints from us. The only way to do that is to turn people's attention, turn people's mind from believing the word of God. The scoffer's motivation. I gave you a quote from Madeleine Murray O'Hare. There's quotes from Darwin saying the same thing. Quotes from others, Darwin's contemporary promoters of evolution. Quotes even from great minds of evolution today, smart men like Richard Dawkins, chief promoter of evolution today, saying that, well, if evolution is not true, then we have to realize there's a God, and that's just unacceptable. Notice their motivation, walking after their own lusts. That ought to give you a clue as to why they say what they say. We find over and over again, if you read after atheists, and I don't encourage you to do so, but some people do. If you read after the scoffers, if you read after the religious liberals, over and over and over again, you see them occasionally maybe slip and point out their motivation, why they scoff, why they promote what they promote, why they say what they say. Now come back with me to 2 Peter. We've seen their motivation. I want to show you their method so that it doesn't take you by surprise either. Look at their method. Look at what they say in verse 4. 2 Peter 3, verse 4. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? Watch this now. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Here's their method. They judge what they can't see on the basis of what they can see. They judge what God said on the basis of what they can see with their eyes. They judge the eternal by the temporary. They judge the entire puzzle by the one piece that they can see. They look at the world and they say, look, things just keep going the same way. Nothing's changed. Nothing's any different. And number one, I look with the eyes of faith and I say, no, it's not continuing the same way. It's getting worse and worse. Evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. No, it's not changed. The signs are all around us. I see earthquakes in places where there's not been earthquakes before, earthquakes in diverse places. I hear of wars and rumors of wars. It's not continuing as it always has. If you are open, understand, if you have an open Bible and you read and look at the world through that lens, it's not continuing the same way. If you're in this book, you'll not see it continuing as it was since the beginning. But number two, they judge what they can't see based on what they can see. They judge what God has said based on what they can see. And I say, well, wait a minute. 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells me, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Turn with me to, while I'm mentioning 2 Corinthians, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at the last verse, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Here's their method. They look at what they can see and judge from that what God says and find it in their eyes to be false. Where's the promise of his coming? Everything just keeps going the same way. He's not coming again. We walk by faith, not by sight. We don't judge. We do not sit in judgment of God's word based on what we can see. We judge, we evaluate what we can see based on what we read in God's word. The complete opposite of their method. Their method, we've seen their motive. They walk after their own lusts. We've seen their method. Let's look at their mindset. Come back to 2 Peter chapter 3, and we're zipping right along here. I might get you out in time to see the lunar eclipse tonight. We've seen their motive. we've seen their method. Let's see their mindset. Verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of. You know, being ignorant is bad enough. And ignorant doesn't mean they're dumb. Some of the highest IQs are scoffers of the Bible. Being ignorant doesn't mean dumb. It means uninformed. It means have not acquired certain knowledge. And it's bad enough to be ignorant. You can solve being ignorant. They're not just ignorant. Verse 5 says they're willingly ignorant. Willingly ignorant. I can't think of anything worse than being willingly ignorant. There's been a lot in the news, in the secular news, in the secular world, in the political world about cancel culture. How many of you are familiar with the concept of cancel culture? That if you don't like what we say, it's a left-right thing. And it seems like the left-leaning political folks, if you don't like if we don't like what you say, and if the left doesn't like what the right says, then they're just going to shut them down. They're going to kick them off of YouTube, going to kick them off of Twitter, going to kick them off of Facebook, going to lock their accounts, going to, if Ben Shapiro or some, right-leaning person is going to go speak at a college, they're going to shut it down and not let them speak. It's called cancel culture, just denies free speech rights. But honestly, before it entered the political realm, cancel culture has been in the scientific realm for a long time. Anybody in the scientific world that broaches the subject and says, maybe evolution is not true, maybe there's some possibility that there's an intelligent design behind all the things that we see, for years now, for decades now, they've lost all their scientific funding. They may lose their job when they say that. Cancel culture has been around in the religious world for a long time. Basically, it just reminds me of, there was a kid down the street, named Joe. His nickname was Hoagie. I don't know how he got the nickname Hoagie when I was a kid. But his nickname was Hoagie, and if he didn't like what you were telling him, he would stick his fingers in his ears and go, yeah, 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 and just not shut up until you shut up. This they are willingly ignorant of. Their mindset is a willful ignorance. It reminds me of Romans chapter 1. Hold your place in 2 Peter and turn to Romans chapter 1. Just quickly, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, K-N-E-W, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Atheists say they don't believe in God. I don't believe in atheists. I don't believe in atheists. They know. They know, but they are willingly ignorant. The scoffer, even the religious scoffer, willingly ignorant. It's bad enough to be ignorant. Why would you want to be willingly ignorant? Hey, the information you need is all right here. We see their motivation. They walk after their own lusts. Why do they say what they say? Why do they try to persuade you to follow their pernicious ways so that they can walk after their own lusts, so that they can get that conviction off of their back, so that they can stop feeling guilty about how they live if they can drag you down with them? We see their motivation. We see their method. They deny the Word of God, what they can't see based on what they can see, but we walk by faith, not by sight. We see their mindset. They're willingly ignorant. But what about us? What's our proper response? Notice our mandate. Look at verse 8. I'll just read the first few words. But beloved, be not ignorant. Isn't that something? They're willingly ignorant. Here's a command for you. Be not ignorant. Be not ignorant. You've got to know this book. You know, in chapter 2, many will follow their pernicious ways. Who is that? People that don't know this book. The professing Christians that are ignorant of this book. Be not ignorant. You need it more than Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening Bible study. I know that's a lot of Bible teaching. I know it is. But you need it on Monday. You need to be reading it on Monday. You need to be reading it on Tuesday. You need to be reading it on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You don't want to be ignorant. And if you're not reading it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you're willingly ignorant. You got the time. Don't tell me you don't have the time. Our mandate, number one, be not ignorant. Number two, trust God's timing. Look at verse 8 again. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Let me stop right here and just point out, this is not a master key to unlocking some secret timing and calendar in the Bible. This is not the way, you're not going to take this verse and go to Genesis 1, God created the world in 6,000 years because it was 6 days. That's not what this is saying. You're not going to take this verse and go to some prophecy and unlock and say, this is a calculation, a mathematical calculation we can perform to determine when the end is coming. That's not what this verse is saying. This verse is saying, as far as God is concerned, it doesn't make any difference to Him whether it's one day, 1 year, 10 years, 100 years, or 1,000 years. As far as God is concerned, He's got a plan. He's got timing. He knows the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. You can say, well, it's been almost 2,000 years and Christ hasn't come back. So what? One day with the Lord is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. He has put the timing in His power. What did Jesus tell the disciples? Acts chapter 1, they said, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has placed in His own power. He's basically saying, one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. But you can trust His timing. When did Jesus come the first time? When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son. When will Jesus come again? When the fullness of that time is come. You can trust God's timing. Trust God's timing. Let the scoffer scoff. That doesn't change God's plan. That shouldn't change your trust in God's plan. Be not ignorant. Trust God's timing. Thirdly, rejoice in God's goodness. Look at verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise that Jesus is coming back, as some men count slackness, but why has it been so long? Because He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Look at verse 15. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. There's people in this room that are so glad the rapture wasn't 3 years ago, because they'd be in the tribulation today. But if the rapture's today, they'll be in heaven tomorrow. I talked to Linda this morning. She didn't know the exact date. She trusted Christ. She said it was a year or two ago. She was trying to pin down the date. I think she would be glad the rapture wasn't 2 years ago. I told you this morning, I hope the rapture is today. I hope the rapture is tomorrow. But then part of me hopes it's not until after we get this chapel ministry going, so we can see more souls saved. I quoted that song, and I like the version done by Stanley Brothers. Will he wait a little longer? There are so many left in sin. Will he wait a little longer? Give us time to gather in. He's not slack concerning his promise. He's not putting it off just because he feels like it. He loves people. He wants people to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants all to come to repentance. He's giving time. But one day, that time is going to run out. You and I, that know Christ as Savior, we got to take advantage of the time that's left. The Bible says twice, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. People need to hear. Rejoice in God's goodness. What else? Get serious about holiness. Look at verses 10 and 11. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. I like my car. My car is going to burn up. I like my guitar. My guitar is going to burn up. I like my guns. I'm taking most of them to heaven with me. No, my guns are going to burn up. I can't cling to that. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, look what he says. What, middle of verse 11, what manner of persons ought ye to be? It's a question. What manner of person, if all this is going to burn up, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Get serious about holiness. Turn in your Bible just a page or two to your right and look at 1 John 3. The Lord's coming. And what we see over and over and over in the scriptures in connection with the Lord's coming, the believer's response to the Lord's coming is this. Verse 3, 1 John 3, verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in him, the hope of the Lord's coming, what's he do? Purifieth himself, even as he, even as Christ, is pure. Get serious about holiness. Hey, how do I know the Bible's true and the time is getting near the end? Because there's more and more scoffers every day. Stay forewarned. Look again at 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. Jude repeats this. Turn to Jude. Look at verses 17 and 18. It's almost like Jude read 2 Peter. But beloved, remember the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. The scoffer says, the Bible's not true. And I say, the fact that you're here saying that proves the Bible's true, because the Bible said you'd say that. Well, then there's two scoffers, then there's four scoffers, then there's eight scoffers, then there's a million scoffers, and the more and more and more scoffers there are, the stronger and stronger. Their goal is to make my faith in the Word of God weak, but the more that there are, the stronger my faith is. Because they're doing exactly what the Bible said they'd do. Stay forewarned. Because to be forewarned is to be forearmed. Look again at 2 Peter. Look at verse 17 in chapter 3. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before. Shouldn't scoffer coming along, questioning the Word of God, shouldn't take anybody by surprise. Shouldn't leave you scratching your head saying, well, I never heard it put that way before. Shouldn't leave you wondering, well, maybe there's something to that because it's some kind of novel idea. No, you knew that was coming. Seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. He doesn't say fall from your salvation, but he does say fall from your own steadfastness. Stay forewarned. Beware. Know that they're out there. I was talking to Brother John just before church, and he said it's probably, and I never considered this before. I've been in churches, I've sat under religious teaching where the Bible has been scoffed at and mocked. And so I know it's out there. But he said, it's hard for somebody that's never been in those kinds of churches to realize how much it's out there. To realize how strong it is. And I can stand here and say, you know, there's more bad churches than there are good churches. Way more. I can stand here and say there's more false teachers than there are true teachers. You may never truly appreciate that until you've sat under false teachers. And I'm not encouraging you to go sit under them. I'm saying be aware that they're out there. Be aware that they're out there. Don't take it for, you know, we walk into the Christian bookstore, and if we think it's in the Christian bookstore, then it's safe. We turn on Christian radio, we think it's on Christian radio, then it's safe. No. Be careful. Stay forewarned. Scoffers gonna scoff. What's that got to do with you? Don't let that cause you to fall from your own steadfastness. Be forewarned. Be forewarned. We've seen their motivation. That ought to be enough to tell us, I don't want any part of that. I don't want to listen to them. I don't want to listen to anything they have to say, because everything they say is just so they can walk after their own lusts. We've seen their method. And it is sly. It seems logical. You know, they point out what you and I can see, and they say, now see, doesn't that contradict the scripture? Boy, it sure sounds logical, but remember, we walk by faith, not by sight. We see their mindset. They're willingly ignorant. But our mandate is, be not ignorant. Be not ignorant. You need to get into this book. Our mandate is, be not ignorant. Our mandate is, trust God's timing. God's got a plan. I thank God I'm a part of His plan. Trust God's timing. Rejoice in God's goodness. Why hasn't it happened yet? I know people that are glad it hasn't happened yet. Get serious about holiness. I don't want to be ashamed before Him at His coming. And stay forewarned. Scoffers gonna scoff. What's that got to do with you? Be steadfast. Let's stand. Father, thank You, Lord, for our time in the Word of God tonight. Lord, I just ask that You would keep us all faithful. We can look around, even in a small church such as this, and we can see there are people who used to be here with us, and they're not here now. They've fallen from their own steadfastness, whether it's because they gave heed to the scoffers, or whatever reason. Lord, I pray that it would motivate us, each and every one of us in this room today, to remain steadfast, to remain forewarned against the false teaching that's out there. Lord, now give us great help as we go out of here today, that we would be people peculiar to You, that we would be people zealous of good works, and the chief good work among them, let others know about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died for them, that they may live for Him. Dismiss us now with Thy blessing, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Be steadfast. Have a good evening.